Yo, what's going on, everybody? Welcome back to Controversial Sports. I'm your host. My name is DG. And boy, do we have an episode today. This is by far the most controversial topic I've talked about so far, that I'll probably talk about for at least a couple weeks, because I do have another controversial episode somewhat soon. Whenever I thought of the idea for this account and podcast, I was so stuck on the name. I knew what I wanted to do. I've kind of had this in the back of my mind for a while, but I just couldn't pick a name. And then I was having a conversation with somebody, and they used the word I like. The word was controversial. They were describing like something I said or did that was funny. And they said that they loved that I was unapologetically controversial. And so that word kind of stuck with me. I was like, you know what? I'm going to call this Controversial Sports, because I am known to have a hot take or two, or three or four. And I've never really shied away from getting slandered for my opinions. Like, I've never really cared if somebody slandered me for it. I've stuck with my morals, or lack of morals, throughout it all. Today's topic, is Tom Brady overrated? Is he? I don't know. We'll see. Now, let me be very clear. This is not me hating on Tom Brady just because he went to Michigan. You guys know I'm a Spartans fan, but that's not why we're doing this. I've thought about this since a friend of mine, his name's Jonah, shout out to you, you're watching this. He actually gave me some data for this. Shout out to him. He'll do a project on Brady this summer, so I'll link that whenever he does it. And I'm sure I'll have him on a show sometime. Anyway, he was slandering Tom Brady and saying how Tom Brady's overrated. And I was like, what? Overrated? He's TB12. He's the GOAT. I was like, what do you mean he's overrated? And then I kind of heard him out, and I kind of did my own research, and I was like, you know what? He's onto something. This is not Barry McCockener's burner. If you guys know who Barry McCockener is, that's quite the name, but he's a bit of a troll account on Twitter. He is a real account. He's not just there. Like, he's not Ball Sack Sports. He legit has a nice foundation. He has a YouTube channel with about 100,000-ish subscribers. Or he does stuff like this. He's done a couple of videos hating on Tom Brady. Did an Eli Manning video I really liked. The Matt Stafford video. He is not paying me to say any of this and to push his propaganda. As far as I'm concerned, he has no clue who I am. Because why would he? I'm a nobody. But this is my collective research that I've done throughout the past, I don't know, a week or so. I got a couple pages here. I'm going to go through some playoff moments that he's had. And I'm just going to kind of explain them to you guys. I'll give you guys the verdict on if he's overrated. If you're a first-time listener, which of you are, hey, shout out to you. You took time out of your day to listen to this podcast. Check us out on Instagram at controversialsports.ig. I am recording an episode right after this on Deebo Samuel because he asked for a trade today. So we might have a double upload today. We will have a show on YouTube pretty soon. I say it's an every episode because, well, it's still coming up. But whenever I'm in my new house, I think 2 weeks from now I will be. Is it 20th? Yeah, about 2 weeks from now. I'll have much more of a setup that I can do a show with video and all that stuff. I still have to find a way to edit it and all that. But if you guys want to help out, you guys want to like give me some topics to talk about in the meantime, or you want to teach me how to edit, feel free. Give us a follow, and let's get right into it. Today's shout-out of the day. New installment room. We're doing a shout-out of the day. The first ever shout-out of the day goes to Brunette Girls, because we're being honest, fellas. Brunettes are slept on. Anyway, that's a topic for the YouTube show. We'll do all sorts of crazy topics like that. But here we are. This is our first football episode. Now that I think about it, we are now 5 episodes in. This is our first football one. You know, if you polled people that know me personally, it'd probably be 50-50 on if I'm more of a football or a basketball guy. But, you know, I know my SHIT on both, in my opinion. Maybe you don't think so, and you think I'm more one way. You can let me know at the end of this episode. So there's a couple main claims for why Tom Brady's overrated. The ones I jotted down that we're going to point out today or that. He's always had a great defense besides 2011, where I think they were maybe 30th or 32nd in defense, and they went to the Super Bowl. He's benefited by having Bill Belichick as a head coach, which, I mean, yeah, Bill Belichick's probably the greatest coach of all time. Him and, you know, guys like Vince Lombardi, Don Shula. But Belichick's probably the GOAT. We'll talk about it another time, maybe. And he's definitely not the most skilled quarterback ever. That's Aaron Rodgers or that's Patrick Mahomes. So what the people are saying, these 3 points are like the general common points I've seen from everybody. Everybody I talked to, everything I've read. And I don't hate them, right? I don't hate them, but, you know, I did, of course, look into it. And so we'll start with him not being the most skilled quarterback ever. When we talk about the greatest of all time, it's not necessarily who's the most skilled or who's the best. Because you look at the GOAT debate in other sports, I look at basketball, for example. LeBron versus Jordan. I think that LeBron is definitely better at playing basketball than Michael Jordan. Does that mean he's greater? No, not quite. That's not what we're asking. And I want to be clear, though, also. The most talented or most skilled players ever list is far, far different than the greatest of all time list. That is a totally different list. Because you could honestly throw guys like Russell Wilson in the top 5 most talented quarterbacks ever, with him maybe not being even a top, you know, I don't know, 15 or 20 quarterback ever. That's definitely a different list. I want that to be very clear. I still think that Tom Brady is definitely the greatest of all time. I think that is pretty indisputable. I want that on the record before I really dive into this. I'm going to try to do it, but it's very hard to discredit 7 Super Bowls when I don't think any other quarterback has more than 4 or maybe 5. I don't know how many Joe Montana has. I think Montana has 4. Tom Brady has more rings than any franchise does, any player in the history of the game. That's nuts. I mean, the guy won 7 Super Bowls, I think 3 MVPs. He definitely is the greatest of all time. That does not mean he's not a little bit overrated and he's not the godlike figure that a lot of us think he is. I'm mainly going to talk about the postseason because, I mean, the postseason is what really matters. Regular season, that's cool, but, like, we've seen teams like the Giants. Oh, the Giants, you know, they beat Tom Brady. They beat Tom Brady whenever they went 9-7 in the Super Bowl. So the regular season, if you perform well, great. If you don't, I mean, whatever. You got the playoffs if you make it that far. So we're going to look into that. I have a couple lucky moments written down. I got these ones from Barry McCockiner on YouTube. Shout out to him. And I looked more into it. And I'm obviously not going to go word for word on what he said. But I looked at all of Tom Brady's Super Bowl runs today. And we're going to start with 2001, and we'll finish with 2020. I'm talking about Super Bowl wins, by the way. And let me be very clear, very honest. The first 3 Super Bowl wins that Tom Brady had are very, very Mickey Mouse. You know, you look at 2001. His stats in the playoffs. About 62% passing, which is fine. That's not bad. That's not amazing, but it's definitely not horrible. So that was in the playoffs, and for reference, in the regular season, it was 64%. So a little bit worse, but that was his first year starting, so I'll cut him some slack. He was good for just 190 yards a game in the playoffs, which compared to the regular season was about average, so that's fine. 1 touchdown, 1 interception in the postseason. What is that? Now I know you can point out, I think it was a Steelers game. He left halfway through the second quarter. I think he sprained his ankle, or maybe he hurt his, I think it was either his foot or his ankle. I don't remember for sure. And then Drew Bledsoe comes in, and that offense actually did something. So you can definitely look at that. You can point that one out. What am I looking at here? That was the AFC title game. Sorry. I don't know if I said divisional by accident. That was the title game. Took a bit for a second. I can't really read my own handwriting sometimes. I'm going to be completely honest with you guys. I have had the worst handwriting ever since probably about 2nd or 3rd grade. So I mixed up what I wrote down for a second. Now I got it. So the 0-1 playoffs, his first postseason in the NFL, where they won a Super Bowl, they beat the Rams. The 0-1 divisional. You guys know what that game is, right? The Tuck Rule. What in the world is that call? How on earth is that not a fumble? Now, you can explain it to me like, oh, well, it wasn't a fumble because, you know, he gave the refs that check and he kissed them on the lips. I don't care. That's a fumble. That's a lucky call. That's season over. Their defense held the number four offense to 13 points. The offense only scored one TD, which I believe was on a Tom Brady quarterback sneak. So the offense only scored seven, or I guess six, if you count special teams. They won 13-10. And they only went to overtime because of the tuck rule and Charles Woodson apparently not forcing a fumble. How that's not a fumble, I don't know. But I know Charles Woodson's still bitter about that, and he has every right to be. Side note, do you think Woodson and Brady were teammates at Michigan? I'll have to look into that after this episode. Write that down. Anyways, so Tom Brady shouldn't have even been in a Super Bowl at that point. Right? He should have lost in the divisional or lost in the AFC title game against Pittsburgh where he got hurt. Drew Bledsoe comes in. They score 24 points to go to the Super Bowl where they absolutely lock down the greatest show on turf. They're the number one offense in the NFL, only scored 17 points, which it's not like that's terrible, but you're probably not going to win if you score 17. Brady scored 10 points on his offense, and they had a pick six. And I believe this was a Vinatieri game-winning field goal, one of his two, if I'm not mistaken. So Tom Brady, to recap, didn't play great in this entire playoff run. Got bailed out by his defense and maybe one of the worst calls in NFL history and still won the Super Bowl, undeservingly. And that's not to say that, you know, Tom Brady was terrible in 2001 because it was his first year starting. He wasn't amazing, but he was still a good quarterback. He was probably a top 15 QB back then. So already we're at one fluky postseason run with all that went down. All that I mentioned, one postseason run. Moving on now, we have the 2003 playoff run. We're in a divisional. They held the number five Titans offense to just, I believe, two touchdowns. And they won 17-10. They also forced a couple turnovers. So that, I mean, it was definitely in Brady's favor. I mean, only scoring 17 points and winning. I mean, come on, especially against the top five offense. The title game was that crazy Peyton Manning choke fest, where I believe Peyton Manning threw four interceptions, or might have been five. I think it was four picks and a fumble he had. And anyway, five turnovers nonetheless. Brady actually played pretty well. But, I mean, still, I mean, your defense forces five takeaways against, I mean, maybe the best QB in the league at that time. That's kind of crazy. 2003 playoffs was not very good. He was less than 60% passing. Good for 264 yards per game, which is actually not bad, especially for 2003, which was 40 yards better than he was in the regular season per game. I'll give him that. 5-4 touchdown interception ratio is not good. A rating of barely under 85, not very good either. His rating that year was only 86 to begin with, so, I mean, maybe he's been kind of overrated since then. I mean, but he still was able to get them to a 14-2 record. Help or not, I mean, the Patriots still won 14 games. That is largely because they had number one defense in the NFL. Their offense was only 12th. So, yeah, that's the Colts game. The Super Bowl, I mean, that was whenever the Panthers kicker in the fourth quarter, about a minute left, kicked the ball out of bounds on the kickoff. And for those of you that don't know the rule, that means they get it at the, I think it's the 35-yard line. So he kind of benefited from a short field. Vinny goes down, kicks another game-winning field goal. So two Super Bowls in. I mean, the second one, he didn't as much get bailed out in my opinion, because, I mean, their defense playing well. They're allowed to play well. But he did play a little bit better, at least in the divisional game, where Peyton Manning had all those turnovers. So that was definitely in his favor. 0-4 divisional, Peyton Manning again held a 3 points. Brady didn't really do much that game, but I mean, I guess he didn't really need to. So if you're noticing a common theme so far, it's Brady not playing great and his defense playing super well. Which, I mean, what do you want him to do? Tell his defense to not play well? I mean, So that is definitely favoriting from your situation, but I guess he's allowed to. Would be nice to see him perform a little bit better if he's getting all these opportunities handed to him. That 0-4 divisional game, Corey Dillon and I believe it was Kevin Folk ran for 200 combined yards. Super Bowl 39, Tom Brady only completed one pass past the line of scrimmage. I believe it's in the second half that I have that for. And 10 of their 29 points came from whenever they started on the Philly side of the field. I'm sorry, 24 points, not 29. Or from whenever they were in Philly field position. So again, like we mentioned in the Panthers Super Bowl, Brady benefiting from a shorter field. That's less he has to do. So they won. That was also when Terrell Owens was playing on a broken leg. So, I mean, maybe if T.O. was healthy, maybe their offense scores more than 21. He still had a great game, though. That's definitely one of the better performances in NFL history, in my opinion. So he's got 3 rings in 4 years. Hasn't played super great. But, I mean, the NFL is also so different now than it was in 2003-04. So comparing stats from 2021 to then, kind of unfair because, you know, the game's changed so much with how it's much more of a passing league now. And, you know, the workhorse running back era is kind of done. But that's that. I look at 2007. I was looking at the Super Bowl today. Number one offense ever, at least to that point. I believe the 2013 Broncos might have outperformed them numerically. You know, Brady 16-0, 50 touchdowns, you know, touchdown Jesus in the flesh. Or 2007, Brady was definitely one of the best quarterback seasons ever. That is definitely in the top 3 to 5 at worst. Look how he plays in the Super Bowl, though. What's this? 29 for 48, 260 and a touchdown, 83 rating. I guess the number 17 defense in the NFL, might I add. It's not like he played, you know, a top 3 defense or a top 5 defense. This was number 17. This Giants team had absolutely zero right of being there. Zero. I've looked at the 07 Giants before. I've done my research. He's one of my friends is a Giants fan. I've done my research. Playoff Eli still wasn't really a thing back then. He had 1 or 2 good games that postseason. Kind of got carried by his defense. And Tom Brady couldn't get them to score more than 14 points. That is a choke job. That is somewhat close to LeBron James in the 2011 Finals level of choke. That's terrible. I'm sorry. No disrespect to the Giants whatsoever. But if Tom Brady plays half as good as he did in the regular season, the Patriots will win the Super Bowl. But okay, the last fluky game I wanted to talk about, at least for now, was a 2011 AFC title game. This is the Billy Cundiff game where Tom Brady played like dog water the entire time. And Billy Cundiff missed a 32-yard field goal to win the game. How in the world do you do that? Let me be clear. I can't kick a ball more than maybe 5 yards. But I'm also not an NFL kicker. So Billy Cundiff missed that field goal. Would have won the game. And you know who they end up picking up to replace Billy Cundiff is Justin Tucker. So screw you, Billy Cundiff, for allowing Tucker to come onto the scene and give me nightmares twice as a Detroit Lions fan. So those are the fluky ones I'm going to look at for now. Oh, there's one more. How could I forget? How could I almost forget? The 2014 Super Bowl. Super Bowl 49. You guys remember what happened? If you have been living under a rock and have no idea what football is or have seen the Super Bowl ever, this is where the Seahawks had the game won. Absolutely had it won. They were down 28-24. Well, I think about a minute left. They were on the 2-yard line with, at the time, the best running back in the NFL in the backfield. And they throw the ball. Why? Why? Picked off by Malcolm Butler. Tom Brady gets his ass saved again. He actually played well in that Super Bowl, at least in the fourth quarter. But we're a couple plays away. So if we want to look back at his first 4 Super Bowl rings, one play away from losing it in 2014. He's a Vinatieri kick away from losing it in 2002. My fault, 2004. 2001, or 2003, sorry. I'm mixing my dates up here, because I'm just am. 2001, 2003, he's a Vinatieri missed kick away and a talk rule call away from having zero rings. So four Super Bowl rings, four Mickey Mouse labels on them, in my opinion. These are illegitimate Super Bowls for sure. Mainly the first two. I mean, I guess he played pretty well in the last two that I just mentioned. Well-ish. I don't... not great in 2004. But man, just goes to show, like, some players catch every break. And Tom Brady is caught more breaks since then, for sure. I think back to this year, when the Rams played them, they were up, I think it was... Was it 20-3? Yeah, it was 20-3. Rams are inside the Bucs red zone, about to put the game away, about to make it 27-3, or at least 23-3, and Cam Akers fumbles on his 2-yard line. Absolutely saving the Bucs' ass, at least for the time being. And then, you know, the Rams got 27-3, and then all hell broke loose. Cam Akers fumbled, Cooper Kupp fumbled first, and then Brian Allen snaps it over Matthew Stafford's head, and then Cam Akers fumbles again. And all of a sudden, it's a damn tie game in the blink of an eye after sheer dumb luck. Because Brady, if you guys remember, played absolutely trash the entire game. And all of a sudden, you know, we've seen this movie before. Bam, bam, bam. Break after break after break after break. And it's a tie game. Luckily, Matthew Stafford is Jesus Christ himself and managed to pull that out of his ass like he's done time after time. But man, that was frustrating. So that's just some of his playoff luck that I wanted to point out. Kind of sloppy because my notes are not organized well because I have the handwriting of a newborn. But so I'm going to take a quick break to reorganize this, and then we'll be back with the latter half of this episode. Man, oh man, if you guys just went through what I just went through, you'd be hated. I just recorded this part of the show, and I accidentally clicked delete. I meant to edit it. I meant to click on it and drag it to the episode, and I clicked delete by accident. So take two of this part of the show, at least. Just some more basic numbers, and I'm going to give you guys my final verdict and some other things I want to add in there, too. So Tom Brady gets a lot of credit for being the best postseason quarterback ever. And accomplishment-wise, absolutely. Performance-wise, probably not. Look at the regular season. I wrote down completion percent and rating. Completion percent in the regular season, 64. That is very good. Definitely very good. Rating, just under 98. For the sake of this, I'll say it's 98. That's good. That is a good rating, especially considering how long he's played. Right now, I mean, a 98 rating is very, very good, but it's not sensational. It's not groundbreaking. Like, I think Kirk Cousins has a higher rating than that in his career. I'm pretty sure he does, actually. In the playoffs, you know, Tommy Terrific, Mr. Wonderful. That's even one of his nicknames. TB12, comeback kid, whatever you want to call him. 63%, so a little bit worse. That's only one pass per 100 attempts. That's not that big of a deal. A rating of 90. That's behind guys like Mark Sanchez. And I think, who else did I write? I wrote down a couple of names on here. Mark Sanchez, Ken Anderson, Matthew Stafford, Tony Romo. That's only 3 points ahead of playoff underperformer Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning had a 87.4. Brady was a 90.4. So that's definitely alarming. You know, passer rating is not the end-all be-all because it's an equation like anything else. And some quarterbacks' play styles fit that equation better than others, for sure. I'm not going to deny that. But Mark Sanchez, really? Mr. Butt Fumble is a higher career passer rating than you in the playoffs? Granted, Tom Brady has probably played 20 times the amount of playoff games that Mark Sanchez has played. Or at least maybe close, maybe 15 times that. So Brady has definitely had more chances to raise or lower that rating. But still, Ken Anderson was actually pretty good. Matthew Stafford before this year had a rating of like, I think like 80. He's up over 100 now. So that really goes to show, like, this can change fast because, you know, the playoffs, there's not as many games. That's alarming. You look at his Super Bowl runs, at least the first three he went to, you know, he only averaged about 200 yards passing a game, you know, an okay rating, okay completion percent. Definitely didn't play great. You know, you look at all the years in New England where they had a top 10 defense, it was probably 90% of the time he had a top 10 defense, or at least like a top 12 defense. He was probably in the top five for, you know, a good amount of those too. I wanted to point out actually how the Pats did without Tom Brady. Because their 2008 squad, as you guys know, and I mentioned earlier, they went undefeated. 16-0, that team had Randy Moss and all those other guys that I'm for some reason blanking on. And the year after, you know, Tom Brady gets hurt first game of the year. Bernard Pollard takes, honestly, a dirty shot to his knee. Tom Brady goes out in the first quarter. So what did the Pats do that year? Like, oh, they had Tom Brady. He just had the best season ever. They probably fell off a lot. Not really. They went 11-5, which, I mean, there's no, you cannot get better than 16-0 unless you, you know, go 19-0, which the 07 Pats didn't quite do. But they were still very good. They went from the number one offense to the number eight offense. And their defense went from fourth to eighth. So, oh, you know, his defense was worse. Still, top 10 offense, top 10 defense. This team did not make the playoffs somehow. I don't quite understand how. I wasn't around really 2008. I was 5 years old. But they were still very good. They still averaged 26 points per game, which is worse than 37, but that was also the best ever. So, you know, they obviously fell off, but it's not like they were, you know, picking in the top five. They were 11-5. That's a great season. I would, you know, pinch myself for a Lions to go 11-5. Like, the Lions have only had one 11-5 season since I've been alive, and they lost in the playoffs that year. So for this to be, you know, the worst year in the Brady era, or at least I think since 2002, and it came when he didn't even play, when he got hurt and his backup came in, that's absolutely crazy. If I don't have it written down, but I would love to know what the Packers' record is when Aaron Rodgers gets hurt. I think back to a couple years. I think back to 2017 and 2013. I know they were definitely not good whenever he broke his collarbone. I know that if they were on pace to go 11-5, I know Rodgers would be getting clowned. And yet Brady gets nothing. I don't think that that's very fair. Stick it on the Aaron Rodgers theme. I have a couple stats I'm going to mention before I give you guys my verdict and overall final thoughts. Aaron Rodgers in playoff games where he posts at least a 97 rating. Ready for this? 8-4 record, 67% passing, 31 touchdowns, 4 interceptions, and a rating of 115. This, let me add this on. This is not including the 49ers game this year. I did not update the data, but it's not going to matter too much. I don't think he had a 97 rating anyway. But 31-4. And 115 rating and just an 8-4 record. That's crazy. You figure 97 rating is very, very good. At least to average that over so many games, that's very good. Brady in games where he's put up below a 74. So 74 or below. 8-4. So the same record as Rodgers. 67%. The same record. Same percent. 14 touchdowns. To 23 interceptions. Holy cow. And a rating of 63. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. I don't know how to even analyze this because that's so nuts to me that when Aaron Rodgers has played very good, he has just the same record as Tom Brady does when he's played very, very bad. Like, you cannot tell me Tom Brady is not the luckiest football player to ever exist. Tom Brady maybe should have played baseball. Because you guys know, baseball is really luck-based. Maybe not really, but like there is a lot of luck in baseball. If you put Tom Brady with this level of luck in baseball, he might hit 450. Right? He might have the best batting average since I think it was Joe DiMaggio that hit 400. I don't even know what to say. That's nuts. Another nuts stat that I have. Super Bowl record when the offense scores less than 13 points. Tom Brady's 2-0. You got 2018, and you got the first Super Bowl he went to, the Rams one. Both Rams ones, actually. Wow. Every other quarterback in NFL history is 0-25. No other quarterback has won a game in the Super Bowl when putting up this few points, and Tom Brady's done it twice. What's that? That's luck. If you questioned if Tom Brady was lucky at all before this episode, and you're like, no, Tom Brady's not lucky, it's all skill. I hope you're a little bit more awake now. I hope you kept an open mind this whole time. Those are the two main stats I want to point. Actually, I'll do a third one. Career losses when scoring 31 or more points. When their defense gives up 31 or more points. Sorry. Brady, through 346 starts, had just 6. Patrick Mahomes, in 56 starts, had 7. 7. And Brady's played 300 more games, and his defense has given up less than 31 less times. Given up more than 31 less times. That's absolutely nuts to me. If you put Aaron Rodgers or Patrick Mahomes or guys like maybe Peyton Manning or Russell Wilson on these Patriots teams, I think they would have just as many rings as Tom Brady. And that kind of leads me to my verdict. Is Tom Brady overrated? Looking at all this stuff, I mean, definitely a little. If you look at what he's done the regular season and playoffs in total, he's got the counting stats. He's got the accomplishments. It's very hard to take that away from him. But it's also very hard to not be a little bit frustrated looking at that stuff. I think for having 7 rings, a lot of NFL fans, not me, but a lot of us think that, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. He's the greatest human being to ever live. 7 Super Bowls. Oh, my God. Yeah, you got to keep in mind, it's also a team game. He's not playing 1-on-11 out there. He's not playing offense and defense single-handedly. You're allowed to have help, but Tom Brady has definitely had more help than maybe any athlete ever, I might say. But I definitely think Tom Brady is still the greatest of all time. For as much as I've kind of ripped on this episode, he definitely is the GOAT, in my opinion, just because it's called greatest of all time. It's not, you know, oh, who's the best at throwing the football? It's greatest ever. Tom Brady is definitely the greatest ever. But I think that, you know, the legitimateness of that and the style that he's done it in is definitely a little bit overrated. And we should take some of this with a grain of salt that he's gotten lucky. And he's definitely not the most skilled player ever. And all the cheating stuff that he's had. But I still think that Tom Brady, accomplishment-wise, is the GOAT. Talent-wise, I mean, absolutely not. That's not our discussion. But that's kind of where I'm at. Couple closing thoughts before we wrap this up. I appreciate you guys listening to this. Really do. Be sure to give us a follow on Instagram at controversialsports.ig. Right after this is done and uploaded, I am doing a Deebo Samuel podcast because I know how fast NFL news moves. And if I don't record this soon, he's going to get traded already. And then I'm kind of down an episode. If you guys like what you listen to, share it with a buddy, share it with a Tom Brady fan, a Brady sexual, whatever you want to call it. I hope you watch this with an open mind. I really do. Because I know a lot of people come to these kind of things all closed off. Like, oh, I'm keeping my opinion through this no matter what. And they don't end up learning anything. So I hope you at least learned something here. And if you didn't, hey, thanks for checking out anyway and at least giving this a shot. So that's all I got for this episode now. If you enjoyed it, if you think I'm wrong, think I'm tripping, I mean, feel free to reach out to me and tell me that, hey, man, you're absolutely wrong. This is the worst take I've ever heard. I have pretty thick skin. I can take it. But stay tuned on Instagram and on this podcast. We got more content coming out. We will have a YouTube show relatively soon. I got to set that up and everything. So once again, guys, thank you all for listening. I'll catch you guys later. Peace.